Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Pastor James is coming down pretty hard upon the ungodly rich. He is detailing some of the sins of the wealthy in chapter 5 of his epistle, and he is scathing in his denunciation and clear in his pronouncement of God's judgment upon those who become wealthy by stealing, by cheating, by withholding wages, by hoarding, by extravagant living, and so forth. Many of the things that are detailed here, along with some others. And I wouldn't want to be a conniving, cheating, rich person in this man's congregation. Too many preachers tiptoe around the rich, as you know. I think I read in somebody's book several months ago now, but they said something like this. They said, if a person gets intoxicated on alcohol, we probably will discipline them, but if they are intoxicated on money, we'll probably make them a deacon. Whoa, zinger. More truth in that statement than we wish were there. How sad it is, not only that there are wealthy people who are dishonest, and yet they join churches and use their church membership and identity to help their masquerade as if they are upstanding members of the community. And that helps them carry out their little shenanigans in cheating people out of their money. But as bad as that is, it's even worse when the church deliberately overlooks their dishonesty and makes them a leader in the church, not because they really are spiritually qualified, but because they are wealthy and can help the church financially. So who's more to blame in that situation? And which of these two things indicates the greatest spiritual deterioration? The hypocrite who masquerades as a Christian all the while he's cheating and stealing in order to enrich himself, or the church that turns its head the other way and applauds and lauds such a person in order to enrich itself? I don't think Pastor James would be any less scathing on churches who act this way as than he is upon the rich, who are also reprehensible in their conduct. And so that's what we're dealing with. Thank you for joining me on the Beacon Broadcast on this Tuesday, August 28. And many thanks to those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. Well, James has been listing some of the sins of the wealthy. He started out talking about their sins of hoarding in verses 2 and 3, and he's moved on to the sin of stealing in verse 4, their dishonest gain. And a lot of this is by withholding what is due to others, particularly to the poor. Bad enough to become wealthy by cheating and stealing, but it's even worse if you become wealthy by cheating and stealing from the poor. But of course, it's easier in many ways to steal from the poor because they don't have the financial resources to fight you. They don't have the financial resources to go to court, to hire a lawyer. They don't have the same resources to stop your cheating as somebody else who is not so poor very well may do. And so you take advantage of the people that you can take advantage from and get away with it. But how reprehensible. Bad enough to do that to anybody. We should always be honest in our dealings with everybody, regardless of their economic status. But somehow it seems to me to be even more reprehensible, more corrupting, more sinful to steal from the poor. But that's exactly what James is talking about when he says in chapter 5, verse 4, "Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." The sin of stealing added to the sin of hoarding. And James says that these unpaid wages by which you have lined your own pocket will cry out against you. In Bible times, it was not uncommon to hire people as day laborers. In fact, there's a reference to that in Matthew chapter 20. "For the kingdom of heaven," we read in verse 1, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. "Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Verse 4, "and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went." And so there's this parable, this story, about a landowner who picks up extra help for the time of harvest by going to a place where people hang out, hoping to be hired for the day. Day laborers. Not nearly so common in our day as it was in Bible days, but that's the bottom of the totem pole economically. Only the people who don't have a job go to the spot where day laborers are hired. If anybody has a regular job, he doesn't do that, and people would far rather have a regular job that they can count on and go to every day, even if they don't make any more wages than a day laborer, because actually a denarius for a day's pay was the standard payment for a common, ordinary working man. That was the pay, I'm told, for a Roman soldier, not an officer, of course, but a regular Roman soldier, a denarius a day, and a day laborer, a denarius a day. But if somebody had a regular job and was making a denarius a day, they'd much rather do that, of course, than to go out and hang in the marketplace to get hired a day at a time, because they may not get hired. In this parable, we have some that got hired first thing in the morning, and others that got hired later in the day, and some at noon, and some mid-afternoon, and some only an hour or so before quitting time. They were still there, hoping to get hired. That's how badly they needed a job, hoping to get hired. I say this isn't as common in our day, but it does happen in our day. I actually, many years ago, when I had finished my schooling and before I found the place where the Lord wanted me to minister, actually did a little bit of this. I signed up with a temporary agency, and I don't know if they still work this way or not, but that temp agency basically said, "Come in the morning and we'll see if we've got anything for you to do that day. Come in tomorrow and we'll see if we've got anything for you to do tomorrow." And I would go in sometimes on a day-to-day basis, and if they had a job for me, they would send me off to a warehouse where I could count parts and help with inventory, or send me off someplace else. I didn't do that any longer than I had to. But that was better than nothing. I'd rather do that than not work at all, not earn anything at all. I really can't understand the mentality that says, if I can't work a certain kind of job, if I can't make a certain kind of wage, I'd rather not work at all. That was not my mentality. I'd rather make less than nothing, but while you're doing that, you can be looking for something better. And believe you me, I kept looking for something better, and as soon as I found it, I quit the day laborer business and went into the regular employment business. And even that, of course, was a temporary situation, and my employer knew that too, that I was just doing that until I found the place where God wanted me to minister, and then I would be gone. And so I worked for a construction company for several months until I came to North Carolina to begin my ministry here. But that still goes on today, day laborers. I'm told that there are places where illegal immigrants will go and hoping to be picked up for employment by a construction contractor or something like that, agricultural work. Farmers often hire people in this way. And so it's the people who are at the bottom of the rung economically and socially, and oftentimes they are cheated. The wealthy people take advantage of them. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, probably hired on a day labor basis, not necessarily regular employees, though they can be cheated too, and I've seen many examples of that, but it's a lot easier to cheat these day laborers. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. These unpaid or underpaid laborers who have been cheated and have little recourse, little resources in order to protest their unjust treatment, those wages, said James, cry out. It's a rather interesting figure. Remember Abel's blood crying out from the ground in Genesis 4:10? Crying out to say, I have been murdered, I have been murdered. Abel's blood crying out in testimony against Cain. Now, of course, nobody heard it but God, but then that's the most important one, right? God heard it. God knows. God knew what Cain did in murdering Abel. And God hears the wages, the stolen wages of these people that cry out. They cry out and say, let loose, let loose, let us go, let us go, let us go to the person who has earned these wages. Let us go to the person who is counting on these wages. Let us go to the person who has toiled and sweated and done labor for you and to whom these wages are owed. You are holding them. You are defrauding them. Let us go. And though nobody hears it, not even the rich man, unless God brings it in his conscience as he tries to sleep at night, nevertheless, God hears. God knows. And when you stand before the Lord, just like the treasures that you've heaped up as a testimony of your hoarding, some of those heaped up treasures that will meet you at the day of judgment will be the wages that you have stolen and other things that you have stolen. And they're going to be standing there, sitting there, piled up there, as it were, on the day of judgment, crying out against you, testimony against you, you stole us. You cheated others. Here is the proof. Here is the evidence. Here is the very thing that you took by fraud. Wow. It isn't worth it, folks. It isn't worth it to steal and cheat and deprive others of their just wages. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.